From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Ketchikan City Council last week voted to move a controversial book about sex and relationships from the teen section to the adult section of the public library. That reverses a previous vote to keep the book in place. KRBD's Maria Dudzek reports.
The book in question is the graphic novel, Let's Talk About It, The Teen's Guide to Sex, Relationships, and Being Human. Controversy over the book has been going on for months, with citizens first asking that the book be completely removed from collections, and later that it be moved to the adult section of the public library. At its June 22nd meeting, the Ketchikan City Council voted 4-3 to leave the book in the teen section. The council heard from Ketchikan City Attorney Mitch Seaver, who cited several court cases and said that moving the book to the adult section could violate First Amendment rights. At that meeting, Councilmember Abby Bradbury voted to keep the book in place. However, she later questioned the city's legal opinion and brought the issue back to the council.
It was based on the Wichita case, which the book in question was in relation to religion, which is a protected item or sector. And I don't feel that that is comparative to what we are talking about, which was maturity of content, which is not a protected item.
Councilmember Jack Finnegan had voted to keep the book in the teen section. After reading aloud a portion of the city attorney's written comments, he added further thoughts.
I'm incredibly concerned that we're going to fall down into this rabbit hole where we're going to have to do this again and again and again, and the city council is somehow going to become the arbiter of what's appropriate for the books in our library. That is not our role. That is the role of the librarians. That's why we've hired them. That's their job.
Finnegan said he understands that the book is not for everyone and added that all families are different.
Numerous families spoke both at the Library Advisory Board meeting in April, at our meeting on June 22nd, and again tonight, about the value of this book for their families. The library has a duty to serve the public at large. They cannot kowtow to the specific needs of a specific subset of people who might object to the book that doesn't share their values.
Bradbury, who brought the issue back to the council, proposed an amendment with 5 points. It added language that the city finds the book inappropriate and highlights specific pages.
Number 4, the city designates the book as pervasively vulgar and educationally unsuitable for minors because the book goes far beyond anatomical depictions or descriptions of sexual education with highly explicit cartoon illustrations, a variety of sexual acts, including masturbation, such as on pages 91, page 117 to 119 and 165, that parents might not be aware are included in the book.
The amendment also stated that the book's content is presented as medical fact without a disclaimer that the authors are not medical professionals. The council approved the motion to move the book out of the teen section and add the city's opinion of the book by a vote of 4-3, with council members Bradbury, Riley Gass, Lillette Kistler, and Jay Matani voting in favor. Council members Finnegan, Mark Flora, and Janalee Gage voted against. The book's controversy has been going on for months in Ketchikan. The citizens' request to remove the book from the teen section started in February. It first went to the library's head of children's services, who denied the request. An appeal was then made to the library director, who upheld the decision, saying it met the requirements of the library's policies. A request to move the book, rather than remove it, was then brought to the Library Advisory Board. That request was denied, though the board can only make recommendations. Then, a request to move the book was brought before the City Council. And the issue still might not be over. More meetings about the library's book policies are being scheduled. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
Tonight, the Ketchikan Public Library Advisory Board is scheduled to review the library's collective development policy and book placement procedures. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. at the Ketchikan Public Library. Also up for discussion is the public's perception of library policies, practices, and programming. And this disclosure, City Council Member Jay Matini is a member of KRBD's Volunteer Board of Directors, which does not direct the newsroom. And large swaths of Western Canada are ablaze in a record-shattering wildfire season for the country. Now people in Southeast Alaska are starting to see the smoke. And as KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports, there's more to come.
Petersburg resident Brad Hunter woke up to murky skies on the morning of Friday, July 7th. By sheer coincidence, that was the day after what Petersburg firefighters are calling the worst structure fire the community has seen in decades. At first, Hunter thought the pale fog came from the blaze at the local Catholic church.
And I noticed the smoky haze down towards the east, come towards the Stikine River. And you know, at first, of course, you think, well, we had that smoke in town on Thursday. But then it was apparent that it was a different type and a different source for the smoke.
On that day alone, more than 22 million acres of British Columbia and the Yukon Territory went up in flames, breaking a record that was set over 30 years ago. A few of the fires are right behind the coastal mountain range, just due east of the Alaska Panhandle. The intense fires blew smoke thousands of feet in the air over the boundary range. That's why, back in Petersburg, Hunter couldn't see the usual landmarks on the Canadian border.
You know, and then Devil's Thumb disappeared, and then eventually even the Front Range, you know, towards Horn Cliff started disappearing and through the haze.
Andy Park is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau. He's been tracking the smoke across the border and says there's no cause for concern quite yet. The air quality levels are still fair, at least compared to cities on the eastern seaboard of the U.S., which were choked with smoke from Canadian fires in early June. But Park says things could get worse around here.
If we see really increased fire activity today, that'll push more smoke to Juneau, Ketchikan, Petersburg, and up Skagway. So we'll have to watch what those fires do in the future. Right now, with the models that we have in terms of smoke forecast, it looks to stay more north of Petersburg. But you would really have to pay attention to how those fires blow up today.
Alaska is in for some smoke. But so far, there's been very little fire. Mark Smith is a meteorologist with Alaska's Division of Air Quality. He says Alaska's fire season had a late start, but Canada's coming in hot.
This year, Alaska is not burning. We've only had 1,400 acres to date burnt. Typically, even during a low fire year, we'll have 200,000 acres by this time. But the high pressure has been dominating in Canada. There is hundreds of fires through Yukon Territory, British Columbia, and Alberta.
So when will it stop? Smith's weather models predict it could take a while for the smoky days to pass, possibly until the end of summer.
Well, typically we're in fire season until the rainy season starts, but we're still looking at the Canadian fires being dampened, not till August. So we still have another month of smoke potential.
Central Southeast, near Petersburg and Wrangell, could get the most of that smoke on account of the flow of air over the Stikine River. Smith explains.
Petersburg would have the ability to be impacted from the smoke quicker than a lot of the other areas due to the drainage. So as the smoke kind of moves into the mountains from the east, that drainage flow would help steer and channel the smoke into Petersburg.
More detailed data for the area is limited. There aren't any air quality sensors in central southeast. The closest are actually in Ketchikan. But sensors to the north and south are clocking in good air quality levels. Sensitive groups like children, older adults, and people with lung diseases can still safely enjoy the outdoors. So, for now, folks can breathe easy and enjoy stunning sunsets and sunrises stained scarlet by wildfire smoke. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
For real-time smoke updates, you can check out the Alaska Division of Air Quality's website at dec.alaska.gov. Alaska's labor shortage and declining population might have more to do with the smaller number of people coming into the state than the number of people leaving. That's according to longtime state economist Neil Fried. During a discussion Tuesday on Talk of Alaska, Fried said Alaska has for years led the country with its population turnover.
We have the biggest turnover in our population every year. We're number one in the country, and that obviously lends itself to non-residency. The other big factor in non-residency is the seasonality. We are the most seasonal state in the country when it comes to employment.
Fried is one of the longest-serving economists for the state of Alaska. He started the job nearly 45 years ago and is planning to retire this summer. He says because of the high population turnover in Alaska and the large number of seasonal workers, the state depends on new people moving in from out of state. Fried says that's not happening as much now, and it's a challenge for employers. That creates a mixed bag for Alaskans. On one hand, the labor shortage is an opportunity for Alaskans seeking employment to earn more and change occupations, while the lack of available workers hamstrings employers struggling to operate with so many open positions. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it is currently 63 degrees and cloudy. Tomorrow and through the weekend, it might get a little bit more sunny with highs around 70 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.